In November 2023, I had the honor of being a co-host of the Network to Heal Summit, which was created by Matthias and Doris Badner with fellow co-host Nathaniel Schwartz. The following episode is a taster of the interview which Matthias did with Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt. One of the things I love the most about the Network to Heal Summit is that it bridges the language barrier and allows us to learn from some of the most incredible German homeopaths alive today. Germany is, after all, the birthplace of homeopathy. I have long been frustrated by the fact that there are so many German homeopaths doing such incredible work, but because of the language barrier, us English-speaking population is not able to benefit from this knowledge. So I really appreciate that Matthias and Doris have provided English translations so we can all learn from so many of the German homeopathic doctors who were part of the Network to Heal Summit. So just to let you know, the translation was done by one person, so when you're listening without the video, it's a bit tricky to figure out who's speaking, but you'll definitely still get the benefit of the information. If you do decide to purchase the Summit package, you can watch the video and then it's much easier to really get the gist of what's going on. And I will be sharing more taster episodes with you over the coming days. If you enjoy this lecture and would like to purchase the Summit package to have full access to all the lectures plus bonus content, then Matthias has organized a massive discount for my listeners. The package is normally €295, but if you use the code NETWORKTOHEAL200, you will receive a €200 discount, meaning you can get the entire Summit package with bonus content for only €95. To access this, visit www.networktoheal.de. You can then select if you want the website in English or German. Scroll to the bottom of the page where it says secure your conference package now and enter the discount code NETWORKTOHEAL200. Easy peasy. Enjoy the episode.
I warmly welcome you to the Congress, all dears. And today I'm pleased to talking to Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt. He was with us before. He was very popular at that time and is also one of the most popular international doctors. He has an enormous competence and brings a lot of knowledge with him. Always looks at things at all level, and this is what I value so much on you, Dietrich, because you have almost 50 years of experience and practice and you have your own institutes in Germany. Already made a lot of rumble about yourself, of course, also in the USA, in Seattle, in Great Britain, and we talked about it the last time, when the whole pandemic was so active, you said we have to be setting up the masks, and where the whole 5G topic was very current, together with the vaccination, that was also something that people always thought at first, is this conspiracy theory or not? Now, many things have come true. The ones that were always like at first, where you thought, but what's in our mind? I'm happy I'm talking about that topic again with you, especially what comes up next, the legacy of the whole story and whether there might be solutions for people who, no matter how they just have gone into it. Exactly, my question would be, what burdens do we humans have? So being vaccinated or unvaccinated after that pandemic, it had left traces. Yes. First of all, it's of course important, the basic requirement that it was a designer virus or that it was a combination of classic coronaviruses and HIV. This is already known, and the gene sequences of COVID have been published. So germ is designed in such a way that it gives practically all of us a similar disease like AIDS. There's no longer doubt about this in science. And AIDS or HIV itself was a disease that actually doesn't cause any symptoms, but rather causes a general immune suppression and what causes people to get sick and die. All the secondary diseases that then develop in us and spread because our immune system does not work, because we have a wonderful immune system. If you leave it alone, it can deal with almost everything. But if you cut off an arm or a leg to the immune system, then we get secondary other diseases. And now the inheritance actually from COVID, and of course, potentized the legacy of the vaccination as a worldwide damage to the immune system, which now makes it possible for people to get all these diseases they already had again, but then in increased form. And that includes Lyme, borreliosis, it includes a chronic fatigue with Epstein-Barr or cytomegaly or coccidiosis. It includes so often overlooked is today the reactivation of streptococcus in the lymph area and the neck area with all the confusion that then arises in the immune system. And in addition to the inability of our detoxification to work properly. So COVID is designed to make it look as if people are naturally sick or that cancer is just coming on naturally, has already been waiting anyway. So there is no symptom of this disease that is caused by COVID directly. There's nothing special, no special symptom that you say this is chronic COVID, but the fact that infection with this germ is worldwide. There are a few small tribes in the Amazonas that were not exposed to the germ, but otherwise it's 99.999% of the humanity which has been exposed to this germ, and this germ is in us. And one thing that is important to say for me, from my practice, is that there are two types of people. One are those who got actually acute ill from COVID at some point. An acutely severe immune response was happening. Some of them have died, but most have survived. And these people often have less long-term damage. They have certain long-term damage to the lung, but it can heal. And the damage to the blood vessels can also heal. But what's really bad for me to see is the patients who had no immune reaction. I never had COVID, super, but now the cancer's coming on, and now the autoimmune disease is coming on, and the chronic ulcery, or like Morbus Crohn, colitis ulcerosa, now is coming myocarditis, now chronic neck problems start, chronic migraines, which the patient never had before, sometimes maybe had mildly, but it's now massive. And this is actually what we see in practice. And the bad thing for us is the lack of insight of these people. Even if these people have now back pain or if they have a myocarditis, so that they need to be treated for COVID, that they have a virus in them, which is biological active, reproducing, and largely causes first damage to the immune system. Of course, it's separate from the story with the spike protein, and that not only the vaccinated, but also the unvaccinated of us are transformed by this virus into a factory of spike proteins, which are absolutely catastrophically bad for us, for our system, causes different damage in different places. And what actually happened to those who are vaccinated is this graphene oxide or graphenoide. These organizing themselves, carbon, strange factories, which are self-replicating, which means that once it is inoculated, it doesn't stop, but rather the graphene oxide looks for carbon atoms from the environment and then build these large tissues, things that we see in the dead people. These large tissues, the found that clog the blood vessels. So in the case of vaccinated people, the vaccinated people get COVID as well as much as the others. And the myth that the vaccinated people don't get a severe form of COVID There's no single piece of evidence to that it's true. But of course, it's just propaganda, things that we were told. But what is really bad about the vaccinated? We know that from higher place, from Pfizer, there's something built in the vaccination, a messenger RNA, messenger sequences that change the personality and the thinking of people, from those who are vaccinated. And you can see that at your two married couple, both around 50, he drops dead maybe 3 days later, she vaccinated. No, that had nothing to do with the vaccination. Couldn't be, can it? This complete denial of obvious facts, of obvious connections, is built into this RNA sequence. Means that know that we used it to control the behavior of people and animals using messenger sequences, and this is therefore fully integrated into modern and vice systems of Pfizer with intention. Not with AstraZeneca, as far as we know, or not with the other vaccines, which are more or less catastrophic effects, or where this is our experience in practice, is this enormous psychological mental change in people who are vaccinated. The succeeding diseases as really is this acceptance of the graphite oxidants, the increased production of spike protein, which we have to handle well. There are little differences in terms of long-term effects between COVID and the vaccinated. But when it comes to the person and the ability to pray, to meditate, it's completely blocked for those persons who are vaccinated. And this is, of course, criminal, if you know it. Rudolf Steiner had predicted it in 1916, in the years during the Second World War, he predicted that the Americans would develop a vaccine that would completely separate us from the higher self. And he predicted exactly for this time. That means somewhere there's perhaps a fate that God wanted for us humans, or that we end up in this extreme times, that it's not a coincidence, but 100 years ago, it was predicted for over 100 years ago. I thought that it may be part of the evolution and the development. Of course, we are scientists, we think, okay, where might be the evolutional advantage of that? Yeah, exactly, that's already what we ask also. We've done that 3 years now. And until now, I haven't found anyone yet. On higher purpose, there might be certainly there, but I don't know if I can answer the question. So another question, what is the burden on the unvaccinated? And at the same time, well, because they also have a lot of burden from that time. And you said those who had COVID, not at all, that would be the most difficult. Because I have never had it. These who said they mean they don't have it. They didn't have it. But these are the ones who often are most affected in the long term. These are the women who are not fertile anymore, who cannot have children. These are the people with chronic gastrointestinal problems. Or those who go to sudden kidney failure. People suddenly have chronic neck pain or hip that suddenly gets massively out of track and hurts massively. With my method, with the autonomous response test, we find that these tissues are rich in active coronaviruses that have found their place in the system and that have disappeared below the radar, below the threshold of perceptibility of the immune system, and so have spread. But so sophisticated and so clever that the immune system just does not notice. And the places where the virus takes over, So simply in terms of numbers and activity, it becomes so massive that the immune system suddenly notices it, and it looks like an orthopedic disease. It looked like a shoulder pain or a jaw pain or eyes, where the eyes suddenly lost vision for many people. Is this the first and only of chronic, the symptom of chronic corona disease? Is this glaucoma or cataract or a macular degeneration that wasn't there before? Yeah, well, I'm 60 years old. It belonged to it, right? And this is what drives me crazy. This is really only possible through the autonomous test. And of course, the evidence, the reason I'm right, is about that if you treat people for corona instead of the depth of pain, instead of the shoulder pain, instead of injecting ozone or cortisone into it, I treat people with corona meshes and pain are disappearing. The evidence is given for this theory. It always comes from the practice, and I'm one of the few on earth who has a tool to diagnose these localized viral infections and activities. On the other hand, I also have tools so I can check, so I see 12 patients a day from morning to evening, and these patients don't suddenly, like if I were in the university and I would see patients for 10 days and never again, then I write great works, everything worked great, or in practice, if it doesn't work, the patient is back and back again. And we've learned about this feedback from patients who are getting better or where the treatment is successful. This is what I now tell you in this hour. It is confirmed, it is corrected. And now for the question about those people who are not being vaccinated. I would say careful, careful, careful. If you're not vaccinated and you don't have any symptoms, then look very honestly. Do you really have no symptoms? Or is there something slowly progressing, emerging that wasn't there before? A back pain, a fog in the brain, a forgetfulness, an eye problem, a tinnitus, a jaw joint problem, a swallowing problem, some stomach problems. Or often, very often, the loss of sex drive. I don't know how you mean or you call it, the loss of libido. Yes, well, I understand. Or the erectile dysfunction explosively, massively explodes in men. This is why he should be careful. There are, of course, people who have a great immune system, who had a little sore throat on the day and it was an illness. Of course, these are not the ones in my practice. But the people who come to my practice are often new patients of my old patients. And this is really wonderful. In these 2 or 3 COVID years, I have kept in touch with my patients online, with everybody. And I kind of guided them and said, okay, now when the first symptoms come on, you take this and this. And now when chronic symptoms are coming on, you're taking this and this. And my patients are really, really, they went through that time without a trace. We have an overview about 5,000 patients and none of them died. None ended in emergency. And there were certainly cases of severe lung problems or severe chronic fatigue or acute fatigue. But with our patients, everyone got great through. Hospitalization was not necessary. This was a death sentence for most of the patients to go into the hospital. And now with the unvaccinated, we see it's much easier to treat. And still we see that the disease often hides, even in the unvaccinated. It's hiding in the tissues, always waiting for to become active again. And we recommend that people should do minimal treatment for 2 years to cover that part. And it works great. But within these 2 years of post-COVID, we see the incidence of cancer rising and the diagnosis of chronic neurological diseases increasingly. And of course, much steeper, much worse among those who have been vaccinated, but even among those who are unvaccinated, but with milder courses. Oh, that's very important what you say. That, for example, we have a long-lasting sore throat, or which do not go away. And that you think on these things like neck pain. I think it's very important to know that everybody who hears that now should check for himself. Do I have something like this? And I heard it, we can cure it. Maybe you can briefly outline what you're something we have as tool, especially because we have a lot of colleagues, we have a lot of alternative practitioners or nature-informed doctors, and of course they will get such ears to will be interested in how you treat and exactly how what you do. Also to recognize whether it's COVID or what comes into play with it. Of course, in Germany, there are a lot of Armin, there's a laboratory, Armin Labs. This is the current world leader in associated immune diagnostics. I don't want to go into it because the German health authorities are constantly restricting it and say, no, it shouldn't be called COVID panel. It has not something to do with COVID. So also this immune panels, which are offered there, where you can show the changes of the immune system, which are caused by COVID, I recommend that simply, diagnostically. I haven't found anything better worldwide. Also here in the USA, we've tried with the laboratories to set up a panel with 12 immune factors. And it was immediately shut down by the FDA. And we had 3 tries on that, and immediately it was closed again until we renamed it. And this was this interleukin and the other factors that are known. You can say in the case of acute COVID or interleukin 6 is going up, and the D-dimer, one of the factors, goes up, ferritin is going up. These are 3 parameters where we quickly can determine whether it's an acute COVID. But with chronic COVID, there are many, many factors, several of which have to be positive. It looks a little different with everybody. The virus is designed in such a way that there's no uniform diagnosis. Yes, and as I said, we limit ourselves to that. We do our diagnostic with a manual muscle test. And when we find COVID, we test against, example, for the shoulder pain, then the leading drugs that we found. We have many patients who are purely biological want to work. They would never take any prescription drug. And we have those patients who only ever want to take prescription drugs. Actually, for that reason, in the USA, most patients have to pay themselves. And then the whole medicine changes. If you suddenly see that ibuprofen is unaffordable, expensive for the patient, or a simple medication is unaffordable, expensive, and the biological alternative costs is just a few dollars, then people prefer the biological remedies for financial reason. With you, it's different. The insurance is always paying for the conventional side, which means it's free for the patient, and all the biological measures cost something. So, of course, the patient then says, no, can't we find anything that requires a prescription? And so there are these 2 types of medicine, and we've somehow gotten used to it. So most of my patients prefer the biological agents, which are much cheaper for them. When converted, they cost about 1/30 of the prescribing advertisings, which they have to pay for themselves. On the average, it costs 30 times more than the corresponding treatment with biological agents. But on the other way, if the patient has an insurance that pays for everything, just from a mathematical point of view, the biological means cost infinitely more than the conventional medicines, And that's why two different paths have opened up in medicine, including how to deal with it and how we treat. This immune panels, that means a blood test is done and then you send it to the Armin lab in Germany. And then you get to know what factors they are testing. It means you're going back to your doctor, ask to have this blood test carried out, and with this information, to have a blood test done, that would make sense. Yes, exactly. This would be really a good chance to have. Now, there's certainly the EMD in Berlin and other laboratories that have followed and that are offering corresponding things. It's a bit of a competition between the laboratories. I know that Armin Labs, I just know them. These are tests that I use for my patients. So if you absolutely need a diagnosis, I just go to the laboratory in Germany. And every case was positive, that we found positive as well. For my method of muscle test, I always need a confirmation that what we are testing is real. And we found it at Armin Labs. It was the most sensitive test. And does the virus actually correlate with other poisonings? I mean, you already talked a lot about drug poisoning, you talked about aluminium poisoning and all these things that we keep accumulating. Does it even make sense? So how to start actually? Might it be good to have a complete detoxification with fasting and everything else and liver cleansing? Or maybe to get the heavy metals out, or how to start with your patients to clean up. One important thing is that viruses are disposed via the liver passages and about the intestines. It's not disposed via the kidneys. And so it's why important that the detoxification pathway in the liver is exposed. So liver cleansing in fall, something like that? Yeah, we're already doing this miraculous liver and gallbladder cleansing by Andreas Moritz. It's a very nice book. I would highly recommend. Andreas is a good friend. He unfortunately also went missing in a mysterious way. He wrote a book about the vaccination, and a few days after the publication, he was found dead. This is the fate that we know here in the USA. He was a German, but he worked in USA. But his book, this miraculous liver and gallbladder cleansing, is great. So we do liver cleansing, we do liver wraps with castor oil, ricinus oil, and of course I'm looking after this company BioQ in Austria, and I've forgotten how the liver remedy is called, but the most important ingredient for that spike proteins or is the dandelion or dandelion essence. It's long known as a liver cleanser, and my university in Freiburg, at my suggestion, found that the dandelion has an enormous effect on the detoxification of spike proteins via the liver. So I passed it on to my friends in the University of Freiburg, and they did a study and really confirmed that the dandelion was the most effective way to crack the spike protein so that they were broken, so that they no longer can dock at their receptors on the cells.
Hi homies, I'm sorry to stop the episode here, but the good news is that you can still access the massive discount which Matthias has organized for my listeners, that is you. To listen to the rest of the episode as well as the entire Network to Heal conference package plus bonus content, visit www.networktoheal.de. You can then select if you want the website in English or German, scroll to the bottom of the page where it says secure your conference package now, and enter the discount code Network to Heal 200. Enjoy!